Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day and all that it means. Please help us now as we come in a moment to have a reading from your word, the Bible. Help us to understand it and be inspired by it, to live in a way that honors you and is for the good of others. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, our world loves to celebrate people who do outstanding things. Serious achievements like Nobel Prizes in science or peace. I wonder what will happen for the people who first managed to develop an effective coronavirus vaccine. There'll be great celebrations, won't there? Or more entertaining things like Sports Personality of the Year, or the ever-growing range of TV competitions like Bake Off, Britain's Got Talent, etc. Or inspiring things. For example, Captain Tom. Remember him? On the 6th of April, at the age of 99, Captain Tom Moore began to walk laps of his garden in aid of NHS charities, aiming to raise about £1,000 by his 100th birthday. Well, soon the whole country was inspired, and by his birthday, the amount raised was in excess of £30 million. And he was also part of a number one hit single. In July, he was knighted at Windsor Castle. And of course, on this Remembrance Sunday, we are remembering all servicemen and women like him, and especially those who died in war. We thank God for them and we honour their service and sacrifice. But what about outstanding achievement in the service of Christ? In our Bible passage today, we're going to look at two people who are given to us as examples to follow. Paul says in our reading, honour men like these. Well, it's been 3 weeks now since we were in Philippians, but we're still in the middle part of the letter, which started with this key verse, Philippians 1, verse 27. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel. And we've seen, haven't we, that to conduct ourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel, we need to have the mind of Christ, the attitude of Christ. When, for example, he didn't put his interests first, but rather gave them up and died for people. And we are to work out this attitude into our lives. Remember, the last time we were here, we are commanded to work out our salvation with fear and trembling as God works in us. And so then Paul gives us two examples for us to see what this looks like in a life that lives it out. But first, a little bit of necessary background information. There's this Philippian believer called Epaphroditus that we're going to read about in a moment. He was sent to Rome to visit Paul in prison. Chapter 4 of the letter, verse 18, tells us that he brought gifts and support from Philippi. Now, in those days, if you were in prison, you depended on family and friends outside to bring you things like food and clothing to keep you warm. And really importantly, in this case, Paul was dependent on people to bring in things that would enable him to have paper and pen and ink in order to do his amazing letters to spread Christ's work. And so Paul writes back to Philippi to thank them for these gifts that Epaphroditus has brought. And he also wants to share his plans with them, and in particular, celebrate Epaphroditus and another of his team, a guy called Timothy. Both are men who have lived out the attitude of Christ. So let's have the first part of our reading. It's Philippians chapter 2 and starting at verse 19. And we thank Victoria for bringing it to us.
Philippians The first reading is Philippians chapter 2, verses 19 to 24. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who will show genuine concern for your welfare, for everyone looks out for their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him as soon as I see how things go with me, and I am confident in the Lord that I myself will come soon.
Thank you, Victoria. So first, Timothy. And here's the big thing to say about him. Timothy was genuinely concerned for Christ's people. Timothy was genuinely concerned for Christ's people. Verse 19 again. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. Well, it's wonderful, isn't it, to see how Paul views every choice that he makes as centering upon Jesus and dependent upon Jesus. It's lovely to see how he delights in fellowship and sharing news with other believers. But why does he want to send Timothy? Well, look at verse 20. He says, I have no one else like him. Timothy is Paul's best man. You see, on three occasions in the New Testament, Timothy is sent as Paul's special representative to a church. And later on in the New Testament, he puts him in charge of the very important church in Ephesus. But why is Timothy such a trusted leader? Well, listen to more. He says, I have no one else like him who takes a genuine interest in your welfare, for everyone looks out for his own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. Timothy was genuinely concerned for Christ's people. Now, when Epaphroditus arrived on his journey, from his journey from Philippi, you can imagine in that prison cell, Paul is there and maybe some other believers have gathered around to listen. But there was one man on the edge of his seat, eager to hear the news. One man who was enthralled by how well the Philippians were doing. One man who was worried and anxious when he heard about some disagreements in their church. And that man was Timothy. He was genuinely concerned for their welfare. There is no one, Paul says, who can be trusted like him to be like that. So what's the secret about Timothy? Why is he so reliable? Well, listen to the verses again, and listen to this surprising thing that Paul says. He says, I have no one else like him who takes a genuine interest in your welfare, for everyone looks out for his own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. Do you see there the connection between looking out for the interests of the Philippians and looking out for the interests of Christ? These two go together. Put Jesus at the center of your life, and it leads you to put his people at the center of your concerns. And if you put his people at the center, then you're putting Christ at the center. If we love Jesus, then we will love his people. Timothy is therefore not some impossibly saintly person. He is simply someone whose heart belongs to Jesus. And this is what turns him outward, following Christ in being genuinely concerned for Christ's people. But how did he grow to be like this? Well, look at 22. Paul says, but you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. Timothy didn't become a great leader overnight. He has grown through long service with Paul. When someone learns a job, they often spend time learning it as an apprentice, working alongside and learning from an older master. Well, Timothy was like that. But even more, he served with Paul like a son with his father. And they developed a very close bond, serving Jesus together. Christian faith and godliness are not just taught, they are also caught. And if you choose to spend time with wise and godly older brothers and sisters, they will have a wonderful influence on you. It's why committing to regular Christian service will change you as you serve alongside others. They will help you to grow to become more like Christ. Incidentally, the word for service here that Timothy and Paul are doing, it's the same word above in verse 7 where Jesus is described as taking the form of a servant. So you see how in serving Christ together, Timothy is following the example and the attitude of Christ. So before he became a reliable leader, he learned to be a reliable follower. And he learned that service was the most important characteristic of a Christian leader. And so this means that Timothy has become this person who is genuinely concerned for Christ's people. And he's an example for us to follow. Alas, there are so few who become like him. Aren't those words, everyone looks out for his own interests, aren't they incredibly sad? Aren't they also incredibly challenging? Because I wonder, how much do you and I match up to Timothy and his genuine concern? How much is your life centered upon Christ and his interests? Where are you looking to? Sometimes you meet with someone, don't you, who spends the whole time there with you more looking at their phone than at you. And you just get this feeling that they're just not genuinely interested in you. Something else is more important. Well, let's not make that mistake with Christ and his people. If we're a Christian believer, let's not make that tragic mistake, because the sad truth is Paul's observation then does apply today. There are many who would say they are followers of Jesus and committed, but if we're perfectly honest, their eyes are somewhere else, and that could be you and me. Christ and his people, in the end, fit around our own goals and interests. Yes, we might say, I'm committed to my church family, my growth group, my daily quiet time with the Lord, except on exceptional occasions when I have things like holidays or day trips, social events, the gym, Netflix, career advances, pleasing the boss, planning retirement, children's education, after school clubs, parties, building up my Facebook friends, etc. Now, many of these are good things, but the danger is we can become like the person who's looking at the phone, and they're the things that we're really most interested in. Where are you really looking to? Where's the focus of your heart? If we put Christ first, it will lead to this longing and desire for the welfare of Christian brothers and sisters. It will become a top priority. Indeed, the welfare of all the people in our lives. Now, I am really inspired by hearing stories of some of you and how you have kept in touch with your church buddies or with your neighbours in your street throughout the period when lockdown began first. There are some secret heroes around in our church, ringing people week by week, doing wonderful little acts of kindness. If we're really putting Christ first, then it will also lead us to be thinking hard about this question. You remember the second question in our mission action plan? There it is. Hopefully you can see it on the screen. How can I help someone take a step forward with Christ? This question ought to be a top priority if we're following Jesus. So let's seek to follow Timothy's example with Christ's help. Timothy was genuinely concerned for Christ's people. But let's have the second part of our reading now from verse 25 onwards.
The second reading is Philippians chapter 2, verses 25 to 30. But I think it is necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, co-worker and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs. For he longs for all of you and is distressed because you heard he was ill. Indeed, he was ill and almost died. But God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore, I am all the more eager to send him, so that when you see him again, you may be glad and I may have less anxiety. So then, welcome him in the Lord with great joy and honour people like him, because he almost died for the work of Christ. He risked his life to make up for the help you yourselves could not give me.
Timothy was genuinely concerned about Christ's people. Epaphroditus risked his life for Christ's cause. Epaphroditus risked his life for Christ's cause. Well, he was the one who came to Paul's prison in Rome with gifts and support, but now Paul thinks it's best to send him back to Philippi, probably as the carrier of this letter. And Paul takes the opportunity to praise Epaphroditus to them. He wants them to know why he's sending him back and to know that it's not because of any failure on Epaphroditus's part. On the contrary, Epaphroditus is a hero. Look at verse 19 and the five ways that he is described. He is first Paul's brother. The early Christians described themselves as brothers and sisters, a wonderful term that reminds us that we are brought into Jesus's family and our relationships ought to be as close as that of brothers and sisters. He's also called a fellow worker. He's genuinely on the team with Paul, committed to the work of the gospel, the work of Christ. He's a fellow soldier. That's a reminder that serving Jesus means we have become part of a spiritual war. We're called to be soldiers. Gospel work can be likened to a spiritual battle campaign. And Epaphroditus, as we'll see, certainly was a trooper. Also, he's the messenger of the Philippians and the one that they sent to take care of Paul's needs. I suppose you could call him a gospel gopher. If Timothy's gifts led him to teaching and leading churches, Epaphroditus seems to be a more practical man. He's a wonderfully reliable labourer. Perhaps you can identify with him. Both sorts of people are vital to Christ's cause. And Paul holds up Epaphroditus as an example because of the risks he took. Look at verse 27. The risks impacted his health. Indeed, Paul says, he was ill and almost died. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. Well, verse 29, he says, welcome him in the Lord with great joy and honour men like him, because he almost died for the work of Christ, risking his life to make up for the help you could not give me. I'd love to know the details behind what actually happened, but perhaps he became sick while he was trying to bring the gifts from the Philippians to Paul. Maybe it was a hard and dangerous journey, it was in those days, and he kept going in spite of the risks, and he got sick. He viewed it as so important to bring the gifts to Paul and to help in the gospel ministry that he took these risks. He was like a soldier. He put his life on the line, doing his duty for Jesus, his commanding officer, and because of it, he nearly died. And so Paul says, welcome him home with gladness and give him great honour. Over the summer, I read this little book by John Piper. It's called Risk is Right. And the subtitle there, better to lose your life than to waste it. Let me read just a little bit from the blurb of the book. either sit on the sidelines or get in the game. After all, life was no cakewalk for Jesus, and he didn't promise it would be any easier for his followers. So we shouldn't be surprised by resistance and persecution. Yet most of us play it safe. We pursue comfort. We spend ourselves to get more stuff and be entertained. We are all tempted by the idea of security, the possibility of a cozy Christianity with no hell. But what kind of life is that really? It's a far cry from the adventurous and abundant, from the truly rich and really full, and it's certainly not the heights and the depths Jesus calls us to. It's a great little book, and I do commend it to you. It's also not too long, very punchy. But just think for a moment what it might look like to live like this. Well, think about mission partners. The Howells family have taken the risk of going to Uganda. They are more likely to face sickness, an inadequate health service, and death in that country. They've taken a risk with their children's education too. But they would say it is all more than worth it. Or think of Stephen going out to Japan, Pedro and Anu going to Tel Aviv, and the Joneses out in Ireland. All have taken risks. And all of us every day take risks. All of us have decisions to make. Will we take a risk for Christ or play it safe? Will we put our necks on the line for Jesus and face possible harm and yet also the great adventure and the great blessing? For instance, will we publicly identify as a Christian tomorrow or not? Will we commit to giving a risky amount to gospel work or play it safe? Will you ring up your buddy and ask them not just how they're doing generally, but how are they going in their spiritual life or not? Epaphroditus risked his life for Christ's cause. He is the sort of person Paul says should be honored and followed. Yes, the risks are great, but it is all worth it when we see Christ's gospel advance in the world, when people are saved and people grow in their faith. So will you join with me and praying that we will be a prayerful, risk-taking church family? We need to be like this. Our world needs us to be like this. In conclusion, Timothy was genuinely concerned for Christ's people. Epaphroditus risked his life for Christ's cause. The truth is that the world will not likely honor such as these. They'll probably not even be noticed. But Christ knows it. And one day he will say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And we can and should honour such people too. We try to do it in a small way at our APCM, in our interviews week by week. And we should seek to follow their example and to encourage you to do it. Remember that Timothy and Epaphroditus are not being honoured because of their great gifts, but because of their characters. Such achievement is possible for every Christian believer. If we put Christ central in our lives, he will change our hearts. Even our little contribution, sometimes we might feel so weak and so small, even our little contribution with Christ's help can make an enormous difference. Captain Tom was interviewed early on, and he said, "One little soul like me won't make much difference. I hope that it does, but it won't, will it?" Well, how wrong he was. And when it comes to being a Christian follower, let's not think like that. Our small things can have a huge impact with the help of Christ in eternity, in other people's lives, all around us. As the evangelist D.L. Moody put it, the world has yet to see what God can do with a man fully consecrated to him. So let's pray that we will be those who follow Timothy, follow Epaphroditus, follow Paul and Jesus himself. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus, that he did not put his own interests first, but gave them up and submitted himself to be a servant and to die for us. Thank you that he calls us to follow in his footsteps. Please, Father, help us to do that today. Help us, Lord, to turn from comfort and our own interests and put Christ first and be a great blessing to many others and know the joy and the adventure of that too. Lord, help us, we pray. Lord, wake us up today and spur us on. In Jesus' precious name and for his glory. Amen.